So we're continuing, y'all, in our preaching series, I'm About That Life. That I'm about that life. I'm about that life. You know, it's a phrase that was really, it came about by the rappers back in the day. When they say they were about that life, they were about that gangster life. About that hood life. About that hard life, you know. About making that money, them greenbacks, them dollar bills, them ducats. They were about, you know, some street pharmaceuticals. Whatever it took to make that money, they were about that life. But that's not how we use the expression today. To say that you're about that life is to live a certain kind of way. And so the question I have for you and the question I have for myself, are we really about the life of God? Not the gangster life, but the God life. And the Christ-like lifestyle. Are we really about Christ's ways? And so the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, that I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh and the blood, in the here and now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Are we really about the crucified Christ life? Are we really about that life? The purpose of this sermon series is to challenge us in our thinking and to encourage us in our behavior as to how well we're living out the life that Christ wants for us, our life in the flesh. How well are you living that life? That right now somebody's about their college life, that you're trying to get it done. Maybe somebody's about that entrepreneur life. You started your own business and you're trying to get it off the ground. You're about that life. Maybe somebody's about your career life. You're trying to make it to the next level. But how many of us honestly ever really think about where are we in God? I mean, are we really about the life of serving him and living the life that pleases him? At what point in life are excuses out with God and God simply wants results in our life? So last week, y'all, we went to Romans chapter 7 where we tagged it success over our mess, where the Apostle Paul talks about the struggle that's within every one of us, every believer. There's the struggle of the sin nature, the old self against the new self, the regenerated self, the self that's in Christ. And there's a struggle that takes place on the inside of us. But I love it in Romans chapter 7 where Paul says, thanks be to God. But Jesus Christ who gives us the victory. So Jesus saved us, but he also expects us to live out a life of salvation. And sometimes it gets hard, and sometimes it gets difficult, but he's given us the power to do it. And so turn with me today to your Bibles or on your electronic devices or we look to the screen at Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, as I read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, and I read, but when Peter came to Antioch, I had to pose him to his face, for what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who were not circumcised. But afterwards, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. As a result, other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy, and even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws of living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? I want to challenge us in our thinking, encourage us in our behavior today by asking you this question, can you handle the truth? Can you handle the truth? I see some ahs in the house, some oohs in the house already. Some of y'all know the movie. You know the movie, 1990 movie, A Few Good Men. Navy lawyer Lieutenant Daniel Caffey. Remember Tom Cruise? He's there in the courtroom. It's a courtroom scene, y'all, and he's questioning the base commander. Is Colonel Nathan Jessup? Jessup had messed up, y'all. Jessup all messed up in the head, done some crazy stuff. But he's on the witness stand, and he said to him, listen, I want the truth. That's what the lieutenant says. And what does Jack Nicholson say? You can't handle the truth. Y'all know the movie. Y'all know the movie, y'all. Yeah. If you don't know it, young people, y'all want to see it. It's a great movie. You know, there's an old cliche that says the truth hurts. I found this out in life, y'all. Listen, be careful. Be careful when people approach you and say, go ahead, give me the truth. I know you want to say something. Give me the truth. Go ahead, I can handle it. Anybody in here besides me, you try to tell somebody something right, they go left on you?
Yes, sir.
that we say we can handle the truth, but oftentimes the truth is we don't want to hear the truth. But because the truth can be painful, it can be challenging, it can be unsettling. And sometimes, y'all, even when somebody's trying to tell us the truth, they're trying to correct us and give us what's right, y'all, we don't want to hear it, even if it's good for us. When the truth hurts, our humanness comes out. We try to protect ourselves and cover up. We try to stop listening, and sometimes we'll just retreat. We'll put the hand up and say, I don't want to hear it. Let me ask you, how well do you handle the truth? So here's the point this morning. Listen, biblical correction is needed when we are going in the wrong direction. Think about a GPS system for a minute. GPS system in your car is going off. It's telling you go left, go right, and that sweet voice. And you miss a turn, and it tells you that we got to reroute you. But you refuse to reroute. You're going in the wrong direction. The GPS and her sweet voice trying to tell you you're going the wrong way. But you're going to go the way you think is right. So that doesn't sound right. Biblical correction is needed when we're going in the wrong direction. If we're really going to be about that life, to live a spiritually mature life in Christ, listen, we got to do it God's way. We have to be able to handle correction. So in our text for this morning, y'all, that Paul has to confront Peter because of hypocrisy, that Peter is living a two-faced life in the moment. See, before Paul and his crew showed up at Antioch, you know, Peter was over there that he was talking to the Gentiles, you know, that he was, I don't know what, you know, what they were eating. They were eating swine, drinking wine, you know, having a good time. And I, you know, we don't know, but he was eating food with them, y'all. And all of a sudden, Paul and him roll into town, and he starts shifting over like, I'm really not with that crew over there. And Paul said, I had to hit him up, y'all. I had to tell him face to face that he was wrong. Because it was okay to eat and drink, but when the other Jews showed up, it was wrong. And Peter, y'all, Peter was just wrong. And so in these verses, y'all, we're going to baptize some folk in a few minutes, but I just want to show in these verses real quick, there's some things that we need to look at as it relates to correction and biblical correction, some things that we need to heed to. The first thing is this. I want us to see the reason for bringing correction. Again, Paul said when Peter came to Antioch, I had to pose him to his face. And so this event likely takes place after the Jewish council met. Go back in your reading time to Acts chapter 15. When the Jewish council came together and said, listen, these Gentiles, these non-Jewish folk, listen, they getting saved. They believing in Jesus Christ. How are we supposed to handle them? That we Jewish and we know the Jewish traditions and the Jewish laws and how we do, but what are they supposed to do? And there was one big issue that they talked about. It was the issue of circumcision. So after this council meets, y'all, they say, listen, we know something, that we're saved by faith. It's faith in Jesus Christ and not because of the law. It's faith in Jesus Christ and not because of the law, because if we had to live by the law, y'all, we'd all be dead ducks. And so they simply said this. Listen, as long as they abstain from eating food that's offered to idols, abstain from sexual immorality, abstain from eating animals that have been strangled or drinking their blood, it's all good in the neighborhood. And they said that for a reason. They didn't want the Gentiles to offend the Jews either, nor vice versa, to offend the consciousness of the Jews. And so these things you don't do. Everything else was gravy, baby. It was good. That says something to me. I wonder how many rituals, how many traditions, how many things we come up with in our human minds in the church that we tell people they have to do before they can be saved, before they can be a part of the ministry. I marvel sometimes, y'all, at ministry sometimes where what does it require to be saved? To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, confess him with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you're saved. And then folk will turn around and say, okay, now to be a member of this church now, let me give you the handbook. you got to do this. You got to do that. You got to follow this. You got to follow do that. Since when does being a member of church have to be harder than being saved? That we can come up with a whole bunch of stuff that hopes people have to jump through to be saved. You got to dress exactly this way. You have to look exactly this way. Listen, when you give your heart to Jesus, he saves you. That's the main thing. And so here Peter is doing the electric slide, y'all. That he's going over to the side of the Jews. There's a point in this I want us to see, because Paul had to confront him, y'all, and Paul was a bad dude. So was Peter, though, because Peter was a leader in the church. Paul was a bad dude, too. But I want us to see something. I want us to beware of something. Beware of trying to correct people on hearsay, though. Paul saw what he saw. He knew what he knew. I just discovered, y'all, since I've been in the church for most of my life, that people will come up to you and they'll try to correct people on hearsay. I've had people say to me, Pastor, you know, such and so and so was doing such and so, and you need to do something about it. Me? You saw it. You heard it. And you want me to turn around and go and confront them on it? That's your brother or your sister in Christ. You can do that yourself. I'm just saying what I'm saying, y'all. But Peter had already heard firsthand from God in Acts chapter 10. Go back to Acts chapter 10. Read your Bibles. Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 10 as well. That God had already spoken to Peter. That he had the vision, y'all, when he was on the rooftop, you know. And he was to go to Cornelius' house. And the sheet came down from heaven. And he saw all sorts of beasts and animals and reptiles on the sheet. And God said, and Peter said, I can't eat that, Lord. That's unclean. I've never done it in all my life. What did God say to him? What I made, don't you call unclean. So take it and eat, Peter. So Peter had already gotten instruction from God that it was all good in the neighborhood. Listen, there were certain things, listen, you didn't have to follow anymore. The Jewish law, you don't have to do that. You're saved by grace. And so the reason for Paul's confrontation, y'all, is real simple. It's going to blow your mind. When you read the text, he says it. He says right there in verse 11 that Peter was very wrong. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? Peter's problem was hypocrisy. But I found out something. Hypocrisy is not the only thing that people are very wrong of. The people lie, cheat, sexual immorality, jealousy, envy, overindulging, pride, hatred. These are all sins. But in some sense, doesn't hypocrisy kind of blend into all of them? Because if I present myself a certain kind of way, okay, if I say I'm living a certain kind of way, okay, that I'm about that life, I'm about the saved life, I'm about the Jesus life, but I say that on one hand, and I open my mouth and I begin to lie. Listen, my walkie don't line up with my talkie, does it? And all of us can say at some point, y'all, we have to examine ourselves to see where we are in the faith. Does my walkie always line up with my talkie? Are they both on the same page? I hope this conversation went well for Peter. The text doesn't tell us how it ended up. But I think the good news is, and the good thing about it is because it causes us to question ourselves. That when I'm confronted with the truth, whether it's through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, through another believer, whether it's through the preached Word of God, how do I handle it? How well do I deal with the truth in my life? Am I really about the life that Jesus set forth for me? Y'all, why is it so hard sometimes? Maybe I'm just preaching to myself this morning. Why is it so hard sometimes to admit it when we're wrong? Why? Wife, tell me, well, I think you missed your turn. Why? Now, you know, I was going another way. Why? The man thing, we don't know. We don't want to let him know. Y'all, real deal, real story. Yeah, back when I was young, y'all, let me press through. I was probably, I don't know, 9, 10 years old, somewhere in there. And my mother had her purse sitting on the bed in her bedroom. I was in there for what reason, I don't know. And I just happened to notice this glistening of shiny quarters in the side of her purse. And they were calling my name. And I said, y'all, mama, but she got a whole bunch of quarters in this purse. She probably wouldn't miss a few of them if they were gone. But y'all, mama knew how many quarters she had. That was her laundromat money. But I took a few of the quarters. And y'all, I went to the candy lady's house around the corner. Her name was Miss Evelina. And so we had a candy house with a candy lady in the neighborhood where I grew up. Come on, preacher. And the candy lady had all sorts of goodies, y'all. She had Snickers bars and annihilators and them little plank cookies, you know, two of them big ones in the pack together and you know, Jolly Ranchers and all of that, y'all. I took my quarters, y'all. I had me a good time. I spent my quarters. No sooner than I got to the corner, my brother came around the corner and said, Mama wants to see you. I got my brown sack of candy, y'all, in my hand. I go into the house, go into the bedroom. Mama said, did you take some money out of my purse? I still remember that day. Everything in me wanted to lie. But I got this big old bag of candy in there. I'm chewing on it now later, y'all. And I had to fess up and tell Mama I took her money. I still remember that day. I remember the disappointment on Mama's face when I stole money out of her purse. I still remember that day when Mama said, go to your room, your daddy gonna handle this later on. I still remember the day when Daddy pulled like a little small tree out the yard and went to work on me, y'all. I still remember the day because the next door neighbor, her name was Nina Masson, she was my little girlfriend back then, y'all. Just my little girl. And Daddy sent me outside. I thought he said, go back to your room after you beat me. He said, no, go outside and play. And y'all, here I am, snot running out on my nose, and I got webs on my body, and my little girlfriend, what's wrong with you? But I thank God today, there was a reason that Mama had to correct me. Because Mama didn't want me to grow up and be a thief. And if I ever think about taking anything from anybody today, I get that little flinch. I remember what Mama did. That Paul had to confront Peter for a reason, because he was very wrong. And y'all, we have to be the kind of people that I know we are, that when we're wrong, we can admit it, and we can accept. Young people, we can accept the correction that comes our way. Young people, hear me today. If Mama and Dad, if they're correcting you, it's for a reason. It's not because they don't like you. It's because they love you. That's why they do it. And so handle correction in the right way. There's a reason for it. Also, I want us to see the ruin that comes from corrupted behavior. The ruin that comes from corrupted behavior. The text shows us that as a result of Peter's behavior, not only did it impact him, y'all, but it impacted other people that were around him. Peter was a great leader in the church, in the first church. It was Peter that met with that great council. We look back in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, as he begins to break it down to them and tell them the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, y'all the one that crucified Jesus. You did it. Yes, you did. But that's the Jesus that I came to preach to you today, that loves you and wants a relationship with you. That same Peter, the same day, thousands of souls were saved. But we look over here in Galatians, this same Peter, this great leader in the church, is guilty of hypocrisy. You know, I have to say this, that I'm not looking down on Peter. I'm not judging Peter. But I'm glad this story is in the Bible, because it shows us, no matter how what kind of leader you think you are, whether you're a pastor or a deacon or an usher or a greeter or on the finance committee, listen, all of us can fall in sin at some point. And so Peter's story is written for our example. This great leader in the church, this mighty man of God, was guilty of hypocrisy. But here's the other thing. It impacted his life as a leader in the church, but it also impacted those that were around. Barnabas, y'all. Did y'all know about Barnabas? Good old Barnabas, y'all. Barnabas was the man, y'all. Barnabas was generous. That he sold a piece of land and he gave it for the purpose of the ministry. That Barnabas, that his name is the son of encouragement. He's an encourager. That Barnabas was the one. Poor Barnabas was led astray along with some of the other Jews. Look, Proverbs 12:16. One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Leading people astray, the Bible calls wicked. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. I believe this, if you hang out with a skunk long enough, some stink gonna eventually get off on you. When people hang out with you, what do they smell like? One of my prayers when I was young and we were having our children, Jackie had our children, we were having the children. One of my prayers, I still remember to this day, Lord, don't let my issues, don't let my stuff rub off on my kids. That's why it was important for me to get it right with God. Because I didn't want them to grow up with some of the issues and the stuff that I dealt with an alcoholic father and stuff I was tripping on when I was young. I didn't want my issues to rub off on them. So be careful. Your sins not only impact you, but it impacts other people too. It can impact your family. It can impact an entire church. So be careful with what you do. And when people have to correct you, be ready to receive that correction. Corrupted behavior impacts us and those that are around us. Last thing, y'all, and I'm done, y'all. We're going to get on to these baptisms in just a minute. I want us to see the results that come from biblical correction. The results that come from biblical correction. Paul confronted Peter face to face about his behavior, but we aren't told about Peter's response. You know, our hope is that Peter was, you know, a mighty man of God. You know, that he was a great leader in the church. And perhaps he would have, he took it well. We would hope that that's what the case was. When you read the rest of the New Testament, that and Peter's mentioned time and time again in the New Testament, he must have handled it well. We'll just say that we don't know, you know. But how would you have handled it? I mean, who you think you're talking to? Don't you know who I am, please? How many leaders in churches today all around the nation and all around the world put themselves up here? And how many times have we heard leaders say, I'm accountable to nobody but God? Well, since when? When plurality and leadership is mentioned throughout the New Testament, all of us ought to be accountable to somebody in flesh and blood. How many leaders will accept correction and accept it well? Now, I do believe there's a biblical way to approach a leader. You don't just bust them out like that all the time. There's a way biblically to do it, but it has to be done. So some of y'all nodding good. Yeah, Pastor, we see you tripping and stuff. We go, I'm going to tell you. I know Mother High. She's going to tell me. She going, hey, come and let me talk to you. As well as y'all should. But I'm talking about the results that come from biblical correction. That's where I am. So when it comes to both giving and receiving biblical correction, what should it look like? I'm glad y'all want to know. What does it look like to give a corrective word biblically? Number one, it should be about correction and restoration. Listen, Galatians 6, 1 through 2. If you see a brother or a sister that's overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual should restore such a one. We do it in the spirit of humility. We do it humbly. And so And so it should be done. It should be about correction and restoring the person and not beating them up and judging them. And two, these are just some things I came up with from the word. You should be led by the Spirit. Yes. Galatians 5:16. If you're led by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, some of us, y'all, you know, look at me, everybody. Look at me, everybody. Sometimes we want to correct people because we really want to beat them up. We want to tell them they're wrong. We want to feel good about ourselves. Look what nanny boo boo. Look what you did. But when we do it in the right spirit, the spirit of the Holy Spirit, that's the right spirit. And I found out something too. You are not called to correct every situation. Did you hear what I said? That sometimes we can have correction police in the church. Every time they see something wrong, it's their God-given duty, y'all. I got to talk about this. I got to tell them about that. That's why it's important to be led by the Spirit. So he'll let you know, is it for you to say or is it for something for you to pray about? What do you do? This other thing, it must be done with the right motive. Proverbs 16:2. All a person's ways seem right to them, but motives are weighed by God. And so while you in the process of speaking to someone, you feel led by God to do it, you have to make sure that your motive is pure and your motive that is right. Number four, you should consider the method. And so should it be in private? Matthew chapter 18, write that down, y'all. It spells it out that if a person sins, if they need some correction, Matthew chapter 18, it spells it out how we ought to handle it biblically. You go to that person privately, one-on-one. If they did some offense, you do it privately. If they don't want to hear it, you get a couple other folk, you take them with you. If they don't want to hear that, then you take it before the church, and the church has to handle their business if they don't hear it from there. And so Matthew chapter 18.
Thank you, Pastor.
I said from the outset, this will not be an amen preaching series. It won't be a hallelujah preaching series, but it's tight, but it's right, y'all. And then there's private, there's public, too. That Paul thought it necessary, we see in the text, to bust him out right there on the scene, right in front of everybody. Can you imagine, y'all? You in a group of other Christian believers, and you tripping, and you on whatever you're doing, and it's just wrong, and somebody coming up to you and busting you out right there on the spot. Woo! This is good stuff, y'all. Sister Tony said we're gonna have some issues. A lot, y'all. We have to be able to handle the truth and correction. Do everything. This is do everything in love, y'all.
That's right.
However God calls you to correct, to speak the truth, whether it's spouses to your children, whether it's somebody, listen, do it with love. That we do all things with love. And so what are the results of receiving biblical correction? Glad you want to know. So number one, it'll keep you out of ignorance. I love this verse from Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. It says this: whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of y'all getting ready to turn right now. Does it really say that? Go on, turn. I mean, let me hit the pages. It says that. Stupid means you're ignorant. That you're without wisdom. You're not practicing wisdom.
Yeah.
So it'll keep you from being ignorant. What the text says, stupid, it will keep you in God's will for your life. Proverbs 10:17, he who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. That when we accept biblical correction, it keeps us in the way of God. It keeps us in the will of God. It keeps us looking like Jesus and acting like Jesus, y'all. So, and it's proof of Christian maturity. Proverbs 17:10 says this: rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. That spiritually mature people, they can handle correction. But there's some folk, y'all, you can tell them this way, that way, sideways, and they'll never listen. And they'll stay in that perpetual whatever it is. But spiritually mature people, as we grow in the grace and the knowledge and the power of Jesus Christ, we should be able to handle correction in our lives. In verse 14, Paul makes it clear when they were not following the truth of the gospel message, he had to confront Peter. He had to correct him. Other translations say they were not in line with or straightforward about the truth of the gospel. The Greek word that is translated straightforward is orthopodeo. There we go. Orthopodeo. I'm not up here trying to say, I know a whole bunch of Greek. Yeah, I'm country, y'all. But that's an important word because it means to be straight-footed. That orthopedics is that branch of medicine, according to Webster's dictionary, that's concerned with correction or prevention of skeletal deformities and disorders. That when your knees are acting up, when your shoulder and your feet, you break a limb, who do you go through? You go to see that's it, yeah. And so Peter was not walking straight-footed. He was walking out of line with the truth of the gospel. Anybody remember the movie Forrest Gump, y'all? that Forrest explains early in his story that he had very strong legs, but his spine was a little crooked due to polio, that he had this disease, y'all, that caused him not to be able to walk straight, not to be straight-footed. And he was forced, y'all know the movie, to walk in those orthopedic leg braces, you know, that kind of squeaked when he walked, those big thick shoes that he walked in. Some of y'all remember growing up, y'all would see people when you were young and they had them braces on them legs and them big old thick shoes on it, and sometimes it would squeak. But Forrest had them on his legs for a reason, y'all. And y'all remember the movie that one day the bullies were after him. They were getting ready to chase Forrest. And the girl of his dreams, y'all, Jenny, said, what did she say? Run, Forrest, run. Y'all, and what does Forrest begin to do? Forrest begins to, he was doing this at first. Then he begins to jog a little bit. And after a while, Forrest is running, y'all, full breath. That he's smoking them, y'all. That he's on the move. That he's running, y'all. He's running straight forward. He's running straight footed. He's running ahead. His legs have been corrected by those braces, y'all. And I believe that's what God wants for our lives. When it comes to correction, orthopedeo, that sometimes if we're not walking, we're not living straight-footed and straightforward the way God wants us to do. And God will place people around us. That he's the great orthopedic surgeon, but he'll place people around us to help bring correction in our lives, y'all. So that all the days of our life, we can walk straight, y'all. We can run straight, y'all. We can run like the wind. We can run for Jesus, y'all. But we can't run for Jesus if there's some areas in our lives that need to be corrected. We can't run as fast as we can. Anybody grateful for some orthopedic Christians in your life? Y'all, anybody glad for some orthopedic Christians in your life? Some mama nims that would bring a switch to you when you weren't doing it right. Some daddies that would bring the belt to you when you weren't doing it right. Some teachers that would put you over the desk and say, bend over, I got to get you. And they take that paddle against you. Those orthopedic Christians, those orthopedic people that God placed in your life and in my life to help us to get it right, to walk correct, to run strong. And we're the people that we are today because we allow God to put people in our lives, to bring correction in our lives. And we praise God for it. And so our prayer ought to be, Lord, when I pray, there's an area in my life that's not right. If it's crooked, Lord God, speak to me. God, if I'm here today in this assembly and you're speaking to me, God, about a particular issue, if it's not right, oh God, I want to get it right. God, listen, if it's somebody, a mother or a father that's trying to correct me and tell me what's right, what's true, help me to listen to them and to follow what they're telling me to do today. Because God, I want to be that kind of believer that runs for you, that lives for you. I want to be that kind of believer that's able to say, I can handle the truth. Amen. 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 Pray with me now. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this wonderful illustration in your holy word. As the Apostle Paul has to approach, bring confrontation against another apostle. No matter how big we are, think we are, None of us are above correction. And God, it's our heart's desire to be able to handle correction when it comes. Not to rebuke it, but to listen and to obey. If we say we are about that life, about your life, oh God, about the Christ-like life, the crucified life, a part of that means we have to be able to handle correction, whether it comes by way of the Holy Spirit, it comes by way of your word, it comes by way of another believer, however it comes, because you can even use unbelievers to speak a word of truth to us, oh God. You can take our critics, oh God, to speak truth to us. And help us as your people, Lord God, to be open to receive your correction, that we will be able to handle the truth. So I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And
you've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.